Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So Nick leaves the studio to go out and get coffee or something, maybe go to the bathroom or something like that. And all of a sudden, Mark leaves the studio, and Mark's in his car somewhere going to get juice or something.
Right. I figured he was going to be like locked out coming back from the bathroom or whatever. He's like, I went to get coffee from this juice place. Like, we have coffee.
Well, we're going to be talking to Kelly Carlin here shortly. No, he walked here.
Okay.
There must be something around here that's open.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff within walking distance.
He went to the parking garage.
That's open.
So did he take his car somewhere?
Oh, well, I don't know if he drove away.
He just left. I'll be back. See you later. Yeah, you talk about being late for class. He just left. Kelly Carlin, I think Puss might be fluffing her. I think they're a little behind because she's doing some other interviews before us. But we're about to talk to Kelly Carlin, the daughter of course, George Carlin. New documentary coming out this weekend on HBO.
George Carlin's American Dream.
Yeah.
HBO, yeah. HBO Max.
I don't know if... What do you type in there? Oh, is it us? Is it him? Is it her?
Yeah, so he was late with no coffee.
Right. sir? Oh,
she's
Kelly,
with us.
Kelly Carlin with us. The documentary is George Carlin's American Dream, debuts on HBO this coming weekend, two nights, Friday and Saturday. Kelly, welcome. Appreciate you calling.
Oh, you guys, thanks for having me, you guys. Happy to be here. I was born in Dayton, Ohio, so I'm really happy to be talking to the Midwest.
Kelly, I want to ask you a question here. Your dad's been gone since 08, and I'm sure you probably wanted to do a documentary before this. What took so long? Because we all want to see this really bad.
Yeah. Great question. Yeah. We are picky and protective,
okay.
Just like my dad was about his career and his legacy.
Right.
And we had been approached by lots of different people, but nothing really felt right. The timing wasn't right. And then about 4 years ago, I met the producer that we ended up working with, a guy named Teddy Leifer, amazing guy. And then two and a half years ago, we went searching for directors and found, of course, Judd Apatow and Mike Bonfiglio. And they just checked off so many important things for us, knew they were going to do a brilliant job. And the fact that it's HBO, which was my father's home for all of his specials, made it extra perfect. And you know what? I think the timing's good because I think this is what America needs right now. Yep.
Oh, the timing is perfect.
He would be proud of you being a perfectionist because that's exactly what he was. We've talked to him several times, and he would say that he would do the tour in order to perfect his special.
Yeah.
And you look at all those specials. He wanted them to be timeless, and they were. And it's just looking back on his work, it's just brilliant.
Yeah, amazing.
The timelessness of it is amazing. You know, the fact that he talked about big ideas and he talked about the systems that we're all affected by, right? The economy and wealth and government and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the big, big topics. So, you know, it is, you know, that's why it's still completely relevant 20 years later, 30 years later.
Your dad seemed to be a pretty humble guy. Was that him in behind the doors, or did he realize how important he was to America?
Oh, yeah, no, that humility you sensed and saw was 100% him.
Yeah.
And that really was the essence of who he was. And I think people really understood that, even though he took very strong stances in his act and on stage as a performer. You know, I mean, it was still a theatrical event.
Right.
He meant everything he said. But I think people really received it because they saw it wasn't coming from, I mean, even when he would, you know, kind of scold us, right?
Yeah.
Those members of the audience, and you'd feel like, he's picking on me now. But you really felt that there was a warm-hearted man behind all of that.
George Carlin's American Dream on HBO this weekend, Friday and Saturday on HBO Max. I believe you can start streaming that on Friday, right? Kelly Carlin, George's daughter.
We have our own opinion on this, and I'm sure you've been asked this 100 times, but I would like to hear your point of view.
Come on in.
You hear the question, how would George Carlin have handled cancel culture? George Carlin wouldn't have made it in today's scene. I disagree. Do you?
I disagree, too. I think he would have been as bold as he was anywhere, anytime. I think that cancel culture is something that is being used as a wedge issue to divide us.
Yeah.
I think some people, have to have consequences for actions, 100%. There's nothing wrong with taking personal responsibility. But I think as far as free speech in this country, it's a load of BS that there's any real limits on it because if an audience member doesn't like what you say, they get up and leave. If they don't like what they hear on the radio, there's two knobs.
Yep.
And he always said that. So, there was, always people trying to control speech. He talked about political correctness and euphemisms 35, 40 years ago.
Yes, he did.
So this has always been a trend in this culture. And, the right and the left both have their versions of political correctness. Both have ways that they want to limit people's speech and behavior. And of course, he would push up against both of those things, and he would come up with some unique third way to think about it that we have not thought about, and that's why we miss him so much.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's American Dream on HBO this weekend. The documentary about George's life starts from the very beginning, of course, until he passed in 08. So everybody's looking forward to this. What did you ever think about doing that yourself, or do you realize it? Did you ever want to go into stand-up yourself?
No, not my thing. I'm okay. A storyteller. Right. I tell personal stories. Right. Spalding Gray is my hero. I wrote a memoir. I had a solo show. Mm-hmm. But I, too, like my dad, think about big ideas. I think a lot about human human evolution, right. The forces that shape us. I'm much more interested in inner life. I've got my master's in psychology. Okay. I'm a life coach. So I have a lot to say to the world. But as a stand-up comedian, no. A, big shadow there. Too weird. I'm funny. I love making people laugh. I used to make my dad laugh. I use humor to make, to make the medicine go down, of course. But no, it's a kind of a ruthless path. And it's a lonely path. You're on the road a lot. Not my cup of tea.
Now, when you went back and watched this, obviously you're involved in putting the whole documentary together. Is it are you sad because he's been gone? I know he's been gone. We all lose our parents eventually, and I lost mine recently, my dad recently. But you've lost your dad in 08. But you probably think about him all the time. Was it tough to watch a documentary?
Of course it was. Even when I got the first rough cut, and to look at it, because I'm an executive producer on the project. And I told them, I'm like, this is going to take me a couple of days.
Right.
It's not easy. My mom died 25 years ago, so we moved through that emotionally. Yep. We moved through some dark days in my childhood, also hard to watch as a person who participated in it. But the overall story and everything is, I'm so proud of it. I'm so uplifted by it. Ultimately, I'm inspired by him still. But yeah, of course, it's weird to see your own life kind of flash before your eyes when you're watching it in a screening with a bunch of strangers. It's definitely a weird life, but clearly I signed up for the weird life because I got George Carlin as a dad.
But in the end, the whole project had to make you happy, didn't it?
Oh my God, I'm thrilled, you guys. Yeah. Absolutely thrilled. Thrilled that he's getting his due. Thrilled that people are going to get to see the man behind the man on the stage. Get to see the human behind all of that. And Judd and Michael did an incredible job putting 60 years of archival footage together. Just amazing stuff, you guys.
And it's getting great reviews, too. So we're all looking forward to it. Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's American Dream, this weekend on HBO. Kelly, thank you for everything. And thank you for your dad, although we thank you. We'll thank your dad for you, for that matter.
Yeah, he made us laugh. He made us think. And we can't wait to watch this.
Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Very cool. Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, Mark, you just had to go pee and just say to get in the car and go somewhere or what? Oh, your mic's on. Go ahead. You followed Nick out, and all of a sudden, you're not. Nick comes. Where's he at? I don't know. He walked out following you.
We lost you.
So, is this a scatterbrain situation? What happened?
Okay, we like to call it ADHD, okay, which I do have. So thank you.
You've done that before. I mean, and we've known you for a long time now. You've been coming in the studio with us for probably how long? 8-9 years, maybe.
Oh, it feels like forever. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
And then I know sometimes you just leave, and all of a sudden we don't know where you're at. So, which is fine. We had an interview scheduled, but where'd you go?
Wish every guy would feel like that. You know, where are you, man? Where are you? I want you right here next to me.
We want you right here next
right,
to us.
Right. So, okay.
What'd you do when you walked out this room?
Right. Okay. So. Puss said, oh, Nick is went outside to like this way to the parking garage. Right. So I walked out there, and then I was like, you know, I kind of did the whole thing. I was like, you know, I might just get some coffee while I'm out here. And it's I'm sweating like a pig anyway, just because it's, you know, because I do that. And
now it's hot in here.
And it's hot. And it's me. And that's why I'm drinking hot coffee now. Yeah. Like, it makes no sense at all.
Right.
And then I thought, you got in the car, went
and got some coffee?
No, I just like walked around a little. I was going over to the juice place. They have a sign flashing open. Okay, so I'm like, okay. And then Nick's like, oh, we're back here. And then I looked down. It was like 8:29. I'm like, oh, my God. This went fast.
So you went down.
You
went down the hole. You went downstairs quickly. Started walking around the area.
Yeah. Okay. Like an idiot. Yeah. I'm like, why can't I do this? You know? Because where you were before, there was nowhere to go.
Do you ever leave a classroom and don't come back? Where'd he go?
But embarrassingly, and I've never said this out loud, I have to leave an embarrassing amount of times. Oh, yeah, I got to go get that. Oh, yeah, I got to go get that. I'm that guy, you know? Oh, yeah, I forgot the little clicker for your presentation. Sorry about that. I'll be right back. Yeah.
You are the absent-minded professor.
I feel like that. Yeah. That won't go through my head a million times now either, so thank you.
Something sick.
Yeah.
It's called ADHD.
Yeah. I do. But you know, I always, we probably talked about that on here before. Yeah. I always thought as a kid, like, something's wrong with me. Like, why can't I take one of those standardized tests and read the stuff and then answer the questions? What is wrong with me?
Well, you got a college degree and you're teaching in college, so you can take tests, obviously. You know?
Yeah. We didn't have to I only had to do one by memory in grad school. Okay. And I literally had the head of the disability department talking to me, the counseling center, like everything. I was like freaking out.
Have you always been easily distracted?
Obviously.
I think so.
I think you followed a fly downstairs.
But I remember, you know, Nick's mom going to me when he was little, you know, like, when the schedule would change,
like,
she's like, she's like, he doesn't have Cub Scouts on Thursdays. That was last year. I'm like, okay, I got it. And I have to write, this is fine. So I have to write big on a whiteboard in my office, like the room number and which one it's in.
Okay, which building it's in.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And they change every time.
Right.
So I've walked in before to a class last quarter, and I'm like, good morning, and often they won't say anything, so I give them crap, you know, and I'm like, is nobody going to say anything? And they're like, you're not our teacher. I'm like, what?
I don't want to throw you this in your head, but my daughter's first semester at KU last fall, she had a teacher that they went in one day, and the teacher wasn't there, and like a TA came in and said, your teacher's no longer here. Mental breakdown.
Oh, man.
Halfway through the semester, mental breakdown. So, like, all the kids got really high grades because they figured, well, this is screwed up. But they just a mental breakdown. And she said in class, like, a couple weeks before that, he was just saying really weird stuff. And they didn't know what he was saying. They're going, well, you know, but I told her, I went to college. There's a lot of strange professors out there.
Oh, yeah.
They're different. They have a different headspace, and they're eccentric a lot. So that's probably what that was. She goes, no, Dad, she called me. He goes, no, he had a mental breakdown. He's done for this season. You know, out. Man. Now, I don't want to make you freak out there.
No. Well, yeah, or now that you know that's an option.
Mental breakdown,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, mental breakdown.
Yeah, no, I know what that feels like, but, you know, yeah. Yeah,
you're not our teacher.
I mean, that's like the last, my last job in Los Angeles. You know, right. It's taken me years to be able to talk about this, right. But I just left. I'm like, I'm done.
Oh,
the middle
left?
Of post. I just left. And they're like, what? I go, no, I'm done. I go, I can't do this another second.
Okay.
And well, you know what?
But that's actually probably a good feeling at first.
Yeah. But did you have anything else lined up? Or you just said,
not for
I'm
years.
Done.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, nothing. Mm-hmm. But I remember earlier that day, I was in like getting a piece of pizza or something, and they said drivers needed, and I thought, God, I wish I had that job.
Okay, got it.
You know,
yeah, you should.
And yeah, and I know that's pretty common for people to think that when you're like in a high stress job, oh, I just want to be work at McDonald's or whatever. But the thing is, I think the reason that happened is that's the only way I would have gotten out.
Right.
That's the only way.
Was because. To walk.
Right, because I would have waited for the next thing to start. That would have sounded great, back in the cycle. Because I'd get job after job for a long time. I would just look down on the calendar and go, okay, when's this one over? And then mark it on the day and go, how many days do I have left? That's not a way to have a job.
No.
That's not a way to have a job.
But you love teaching.
I do. I love it.
Are you an easy professor or are you a tough professor?
I'm easy. Okay, according to the rate my professor.
If the guy try, if people try, they're going to get B's, C's, and A's.
About 80% get an A.
Because they're really in there. They really want to be there.
Yeah, they want to be there. Plus, I'm cool. Here's the thing, too, is I let them turn in the work whenever they can.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you can't keep doing that, and you got to call and ask me, but I'll open the quiz back up for you or something.
Oh, that's
cool.
Because
I told them, I said, it's just arbitrary. I said, yes, you need to learn deadlines, yes, all that, and yes, that's important. I go, but I just can't be that guy that's like, nope, you didn't turn it in on the day I wanted you to, so sorry about that. No, it doesn't work like that.
Good for you.
It doesn't work like that.
Well, it should be, you know, which way it should be. Academia is hard for people.
Yeah, I never had a class like that.
No, I know.
I wish I wouldn't have. I would have had to wait until like the last day to turn everything in.
Yeah. Well, I want him to know I'm on their side. But it's interesting because the teachers that I'm with who have been doing this a long time, they said there is a difference now in the students.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't go through a traditional system because of COVID.
Right.
Sure.
You know,
that's
they
right.
might have been passed through.
Yeah.
There wasn't that thing. And they said, we can kind of tell that they're not, I don't want to not give them a break, you know, that they're not up
you
to par,
give them
but
a break.
There are
you
some things. No, I mean, give them a break. I mean, I don't want to criticize them,
and
make them feel badly, but you know, that there are things that like they didn't get to experience.
Not
and
at all.
And it shows.
Not the last couple years of high school. Not at all, man. Those kids, they went through a lot of crap. A lot of crap, right?
Yeah, they did.
It affected them. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just interesting, this age bracket, you know, Gen Z, because it's like they won't write anything down.
Yeah.
You know how we went to class and people, not a thing. I'm like.
They just look at you?
They just look at you.
And how do they get their notes?
Well, they don't.
Okay.
And this is the thing, and I don't make them buy the textbook because I'm like, you don't have to buy the textbook. Like, if you know, yes, it'd be helpful, but you don't have to. I go, but if you're not going to write stuff down, I don't know how you're going to know it.
Right.
But they just think, I go, why don't you? And they said, well, we know we can look it up on the internet. We've always been able to do that. I'm like, but the internet might not be exactly like the way we're talking about it here.
Oh.
So you're going to get in trouble, you know, whatever.
All
but
right.
yeah,
All
but
right.
they, but it is weird. That was a, that just, yeah, they just stare at you.
Man.
Well, and the kids,
that must be weird.
It does. And I don't allow phones.
Oh, good.
Oh.
I don't allow phones.
That makes it tough.
Yeah, and I think I'm the only instructor who does, because the other ones will complain and say, oh, they're on their phones. I go, tell them they can't be on it.
Right.
They're totally fine with that.
Yeah.
They just want to know the rules, and
that's
they
right.
have to know everything. They hate it. The thing they hate the most is when I'm like, and use your judgment, they're like, huh?
Oh,
I can't Google that.
Right.
Can't Google that, and that wasn't because they
my
were
my judgment.
Right, and because they were taught standardized tests.
Yeah.
They were taught the test in school, and they're mad about that, a lot of them. We don't know how to live. They go, because we were just taught what we needed to know for these tests.
Yeah, that's why I hate when people
I
always say, back in my day, well, things are different now for students. It's
that
just different.
You don't have to remember facts. You just have to remember what to type into Google to get to that fact.
Right.
But that is weird, though, because if they're not putting their heads down and writing, they're just looking straight at you.
Uh-huh.
And that's got to be creepy after a while.
The ones who don't talk, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Or have no facial expression or anything.
Yeah, right. Because they're thinking about a cheeseburger or something like that.
Yeah,
like
Nick
Is here. Nick in the class?
I've had people in crowds that look at me like that.
Yeah, you know what it's like, dude. I've seen those people.
But some of those are actually waiting on a cheeseburger.
You'll see that tonight when Nick does his show.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I've one seen time, those people. You know what it's like, Nick.
What do you want? Why are you here?
Your dad hammering you.
Yeah.
I've seen your show, Nick.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah. So one guy comes up to me after class and he's like, you probably want to know this. I go, what? He goes, your fly's down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm after like, class? Has it been the whole time? He's like, yeah. Yeah, after class. Right.
Yeah, I did want to know this. See, like,
yeah,
40
thank
minutes
you.
Ago.
I would have loved to have known this. Yeah.
Fly's down.
Yeah. So now sometimes I just think about that and I just like check, you know? And then I'm like, okay, that looks weird too. Like, I don't know.
You grab your belt and put your pinky in there. Like, put your pinky up the zipper.
That goes over real well as a gay professor in northern Louisiana, let me tell you. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Hey, is my wiener sticking out?
Yeah.
Did you guys see my wiener?
Yeah.
Do you want it to be?
Yeah.
I just looked this up.
Who wants it to be?
Has a 64% acceptance rate at Louisiana Tech. So it's not rubber stamp university, so you probably don't encounter, you know, like the dummies you would at Arizona State.
Well, I don't know Arizona State, but no, we don't. Not anybody who are, you'll just take anyone. No, it's not like that. Yeah, it's
can
good.
You talk,
they're good.
So the class he's going back to teach this summer.
I just said the dummies at Arizona State.
I know. I'm like, what? Did you just pick that randomly, or do you have some information?
He went to it.
Oh, that's where you went. Oh,
they
okay, gotcha.
Me.
Okay, right. Okay, gotcha.
I'm one of the dummies from Arizona State.
Yeah. Yeah. Then that, anecdotally, I would say that's probably true then.
Go ahead, Nick. Well, the class he's teaching this summer, he said, is for kids going into the engineering program who aren't good at math.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that could be an issue.
All right.
You know what college has a bigger acceptance rate than Arizona State is the one that Puss went to.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously.
They take anybody.
Yeah.
They do. And graduate them with honors, apparently.
Sure.